and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Nate Wuggehout, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Senate Republicans are moving to fire the state's elections director, but they may not have the authority, Terry Bell reports.
At a Senate committee hearing on Megan Wolf's reappointment today, Republican Representative Janelle Branchon claimed Wolf has not been transparent.
I think it was something that undercuts our ability to go forward as Republicans and Democrats to have faith in the system.
Democrats say Republicans want to fire Wolf as retribution for Donald Trump's loss in 2020. Meanwhile, local clerks are praising Wolf's leadership, especially during the pandemic. Lisa Tollefson is the Rock County clerk.
We were able to get supplies, National Guard. I actually sent out glass bottles of hand sanitizer out to the polls in April, where you peel back the label and said just vodka underneath. She made sure we got the supplies we needed when they were being swiped off store shelves to make sure everything happened.
The bigger question may be whether senators have a say in Wolf's future. The attorney general and lawyers for the legislature say they don't. Elections commissioners intentionally deadlocked on Wolf's renomination so she could stay on as a holdover. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin Republicans are back with a new tax cut bill. It would reduce state income taxes by nearly $3 billion. Earlier this summer, Governor Evers used his line item veto to scale back a proposed $3.5 billion Republican tax cut in the state budget. State Representative Mark Bourne.
We are here today to take the funds from that veto, introduce legislation to return that money to the taxpayer. Basically, we're giving the governor a second chance to do the right thing.
The new tax cut is proposed for individuals who make as much as $304,000 a year. Retirees would also get a tax cut. There's a new campaign to encourage more civility in American politics. Alex Gonzalez has more with Utah Republican Governor Spencer Cox.
Last week, a day after the first Republican presidential debate, Cox took to X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, and shared a video where he said he has found listening to understand as opposed to listening to debate is a powerful tool.
Healthy disagreement is about staying true to who we are, to the principles that we believe in, but also not attacking the person who disagrees with us.
According to the Pew Research Center, partisanship continues to be the dividing line in the American public's political attitudes, far surpassing other markers such as age, race, and ethnicity. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Lion & Cuckoo's Brewery and striking workers have a new contract agreement. Workers have been on strike for better pay since July 10th. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee rejected a proposal by the Department of Public Instruction last week, which would have included private schools in an online dashboard regarding school district finances. According to WPR, the Wisconsin Coalition for Educational Freedom objected to private school spending being included, following the state budget's largest financial expansion to private school choice in the program's history. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services recently released a report for overall hospital quality star ratings, and Wisconsin had the fourth largest share of hospitals to receive a perfect score from the agency. According to the report, 38% of the Wisconsin hospitals that were evaluated received the highest possible rating, which measured categories like mortality, safety of care, readmissions, patient experience, and timely and effective care. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers have a new 53-man roster. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers got the roster down to 53 players today before the 3 o'clock deadline. Quarterback Alex Magoo was released. So was 7th-round draft pick Grant DuBose, who had a back injury during the offseason. Both of those players could return to the practice squad if they clear waivers. Running back Patrick Taylor was cut. And that means that number 31, Emmanuel Wilson, who had that 80-yard touchdown run against the Bengals and led the league in rushing during the preseason, is for now on the Packers' active roster. He gave credit to running back coach Ben Sermons.
Coach Ben always tells me just play fast, so that's what I did on that play. I've been putting the work in over the summer with my trainers and everything, so I feel confident coming in.
Defensive back Eric Stokes is on the PUP. He's still dealing with a foot injury from last year. Running back Tyler Goodson, who injured his shoulder during camp and will receive an injury settlement. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers back on the practice field. They're getting ready to host Buffalo this weekend. They kick off this Saturday in Madison at 2:30. It's the first game under new head coach Luke Fickell, who talked about what he's looking for from his offense.
For me, that's why it's so key on, hey, we've got to be in week one. We've got to play clean. We've got to play fast. And if that means you're really simple in what it is that you're doing and you don't have everything at your, that's fine. I don't want to get into having too much and not allowing our guys to be confident in the things that they're doing and play really aggressive and really fast.
Baseball, the Brewers will try to make it 10 in a row when they face the Cubs in Chicago. Corbin Burns against Cub lefty Justin Steele. The Brewers won last night 6-2, thanks in part to a good performance on the mound by Milwaukee's Wade Miley. Christian Yelich:
you know, Wade went out and executed. He knows what he's doing out there. He's pitching a lot of big games and pitching this league for a long time. So when you kind of see him out there making pitches and hitting his spots, you kind of feel good about it. And the way he works, you know, he works really fast and just lets us get back in the dugout, and we're able to keep batting.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the happier happy hour, the Tuesday edition. I got my little buddy Dominic right here with me in the WMDX Mad Radio Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison. How you doing, fella?
Awesome, Kurt. Good to be here, man. Love Madison.
We started what I hope is a little debate. And we do have some Brewer tickets to give away to this Friday night. Phillies in town, American Family Field. We're giving away tickets courtesy of our flagship, our Brewers flagship, WISS. 1100 AM, listen on 98.3 FM, Oshkosh Air Support. And up in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, if you're heading up to the cabin this weekend, the Big Q, 98.3 FM, Park Falls, Wisconsin. That is the Big 98.3. And then in southwestern Wisconsin, we've got WRCE. That's News from the Center, Richland Center, Wisconsin, where your Brewers affiliate there as well. But four tickets to give away, two pair, going to do it pairsies. If you want to win two pair of Friday night tickets, again, Philly, 7:10, first pitch, you got to have a good take. And my definition of a good take is quite arbitrary.
So however we decide a good take is.
Whatever we think it is.
That's up to us.
Let me ask you, though, Dom, the story that has motivated the debate du jour, if you will, is this Fox News digital piece. The governor, Democratic governor of the state of Colorado, has called the Gadsden flag a proud symbol of revolution in response to a viral video. Now, the viral video is of a 12-year-old Colorado boy being removed from his classroom for having the Gadsden flag on his backpack. Now, first and foremost, got to ask you, you ever been called to the principal's office? Yeah. Ever been pulled out of class?
Sure. But, you know, 12 years old in a backpack, you could have just removed the backpack. I have. But as a kid, usually for, you know, naughty behavior on the playground, not for having a Gadsden flag or a Confederate flag.
Identified for bad conduct, in other words. Not so much wardrobe.
No, not so much.
That's more of an adult pursuit, the bad wardrobe choices.
It's my lot in life.
I have been removed from class many times. But not so much for, you know, an outrageous shirt or anything. I never wore anything too crazy. You know, more on the radio, I have worn some outrageous political fashion t-shirts and such. Worn a few to Trump events, mostly dump Trump. But I never got kicked out of anything, Dom.
No, a little more background here, folks. Let's get your opinion as well. 844-967-2789. Back to the post piece, a little more background so we get the full context here. Talking about the Gadsden flag. Republican lawmakers from the Tea Party movement claimed the flag in their fight against federal overreach. Far-right extremists carried it in Charlottesville and at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Today, Don't Tread on Me license plates are available from Virginia to Florida to Arizona, with Iowa this year proposing one of its own. Little is said, though, about the Gadsden's flag ties to the Confederates, who embraced it in their own fight against federal authority. From 1860 to 1862, the battle over Gadsden symbols resembled modern meme wars. Ultimately, the Union sacrificed Gadsden's rattler because Confederates had irreparably tainted it. Gadsden, a Continental Congressman and Brigadier General from South Carolina, designed his defiant yellow flag in 1775 as a nod to Ben Franklin's Join or Die political cartoon, which presented the American colonies as a segmented rattlesnake. Gadsden became permanently associated with the rattlesnake Don't Tread on Me combination when he gave his new flag to Esek Hopkins, the first commander-in-chief of the American Navy. He presented a copy to South Carolina State Legislature, too, and the Continental Marines flew Gadsden's flag during the Revolutionary War. The eagle largely had replaced the rattlesnake as the United States national symbol by the 1780s.
I never knew we were a rattlesnake nation.
The Gadsden's flag took on new life on November 8th of 1860, when the Young Men's Southern Rights Club in Savannah spread a banner across the Nathaniel Green Monument in Johnson Square. On top of it read, "Our motto, Southern Rights and the Equality of the States." Beneath, a rattlesnake twisted above the words, "Don't Tread on Me." Thousands gathered around the banner to cheer pro-secession speeches, and in subsequent weeks, they marched through Savannah with their own homemade variations. As the news from Savannah spread, so did the flag's usage. In December of 1860, the Mason Daily Telegraph reported that a rattlesnake flag with the Don't Tread on Me had been raised by Reverend J.R. Willis at a pro-secession rally in Indian Springs, Georgia. That same month, Raleigh's Weekly State Journal reported a Southern Rights Club in Fayetteville, North Carolina
held Fayetteville
in North Carolina held a meeting beneath the beautiful representation of a pine tree and a rattlesnake with a coil, the motto, "Don't Tread on Me," et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it became, although it started out not necessarily, it started as a
revolutionary war symbol.
It became a symbol of secession.
Dominic, after being Fox News Digital, after being urged to respond to the news that a young student at a Colorado charter school was kicked out of class for having a Gadsden flag patch on his backpack, Governor Jared Polis, Democrat from Colorado, took to social media to defend the flag as a proud symbol of the American Revolution, which is historically accurate, right, Dom?
Yes.
Conservatives on social media replied by urging the governor to do something about the school disciplining the student for displaying the famous Don't Tread on Me flag. Now, Polis made his comments on the former Twitter Tuesday after the video went viral depicting a 12-year-old student of the Vanguard School in Colorado Springs in a meeting with the school administrator and his mother after he was removed from class for having a flag on his backpack. For being a smart alecky kid, too, I bet. But I read on. During the meeting, which appeared to be filmed by the student's mother, the school staff member informed them both that young Jaden would not be allowed to return to class because the patch may be problematic for other students because of its origins with slavery. Now, Jaden's mother debated with the school staff member throughout the meeting, arguing that the flag originated with the American Revolution as the symbol of the 13 colonies' fight against the British crown and did not promote slavery. Well, both could be true, Dom. Still, the school staffer insisted the bag can't go back if it's got a patch on it because we can't have that in and around other kids. Now, the faculty member told Jaden's mother that the Vanguard School's director of operations, Jeff Yoakum, could help her better understand the policy. Email correspondence between the mom and Yoakum revealed the director's stance that the Gadsden flag had been associated with racist groups. That's also true, right, Dom?
Yes.
And has been interpreted by some as a racially charged symbol, thus justifying the policy. And once news of the video and this subsequent correspondence made it to social media, it generated backlash from conservatives who demanded Governor Polis speak about it. And the influencer, the redheaded libertarian, and Connor Boyack, who I've never heard of, the author and activist who broke Jaden's story, asked Polis to weigh in. The governor replied. Polis posted, obviously the Gadsden flag is a proud symbol of the American Revolution, an iconic warning to Britain or any government not to violate the liberties of Americans. It appears on popular American medallions and challenge coins through today, and Ben Franklin also adopted it to symbolize the union of the 13 colonies. The governor added, it's a great teaching moment for a history lesson. Well, they don't believe in the history part of it, Dom. The selective history, just the good history.
Well, right. Is that, all we want is the good history, man. Who and when do we make culturally the change? The swastika was an ancient Hindu symbol. You know what I mean? I'm not sure they're going to be seeing that flying around a whole lot these days. Things get overtaken by subsequent history. So, yes.
We have taken the devil and turned him into a sympathetic and good character.
844-967-2789. Let's get to it. Joe from Madison, you are up next. Thank you for calling, Joe. What do you got for us
today?
Hey,
Joe.
2 points. Just referring to the past hour and the present hour. The first, in reference to the past hour and this pathetic display by the Republicans up at the state legislature, I would say we're really in a sad place when fractions are beyond them, when two-thirds is beyond our understanding of our dear legislators. That's two-thirds equals 4-6. You know,
but they have alternative facts and math, apparently, as well, Joe, because whatever suits their need. I mean, if they want it to be so, then they're going to force it to be so. They're having a committee hearing today. They're forcing the renomination of Megan Wolf, despite the fact she didn't get the prerequisite two-thirds to forward her nomination. Man, they're just making it up as they go along here. And I feel pretty confident, Joe.
You know, you
can't or have it before today. It's a new precedent. Joe, here's what's coming next. And I mean this. I believe this from the bottom of my heart. They're going to impeach Protasiewicz, not because they think they can effectively remove her from the court, although that might be a conclusion that a stalemate reaches, but effectively the act of impeachment of a Supreme Court justice in the state of Wisconsin sidelines that justice. They can park Protasiewicz through the process of impeachment. And if you don't think Robin Voss is going to do that, Joe, I got a little.
Oh, I think he will. I think he will. And I just when I say home act, because it's so pathetic and it just is such a black mark against a state that already has so much against it in terms of having the worst gerrymandered state in the country. It's just atrocious, and it absolutely has to be addressed. When Iowa is doing better on this stuff than we are in really bad shape. I agree with you that Voss will probably do it. I think there's a direct line from the Klan group at the Michael Best and Friedman way back decades ago in putting the gerrymandering together off-site. You know, no public input, under secret. And this is where we are today, is that little general is pushing this forward. So I agree. I agree this may happen, but we got to stand tight and we got to stay strong. And I just think that this gets us back to the rebel. You know, when you were, I just want to make the point that when a person is looking for a rebel, probably one of the best you could look at is Tom Petty. And he had that wonderful song, I Was Born a Rebel. Somebody finally, he used to put the Confederate flag out on his stage, and somebody finally talked to him and said, buddy, that doesn't look so good. And
got to cut you short, Joe. More devil's advocates.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. And Civic Media delivered with all-day coverage of the first Republican presidential primary debate.
The only network with every show live from Milwaukee.
The Republicans are on the wrong side of policy, on the wrong side of the people.
Wrong side of history.
Conversation you won't find anywhere else.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 47 tonight under mainly clear skies. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 73. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Mainly clear skies and quiet again. Tomorrow night, lows around 51. Mainly sunny skies and calm Thursday with daytime highs approaching 78. 85 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I think you know politics. And welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Taking your calls, 844-967-2789. Joe, that one's for you. Tom Petty, Rebels. And he did, for a while, fly that flag. I found this. I want to throw this out there as well. We're talking about the Confederate flag, the Gadsden flag. A 12-year-old gets pulled out of class for having a Gadsden flag on his backpack. CNN reporting.
In Colorado. Charter school.
Charter school. You think they'd be down with that? Just saying,
depends,
man.
On the charter.
A little bit from CNN back in 2017 about Tom Petty flying this flag during his concerts. Flag controversy began in 85 when Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers released a record called Southern Accents. First single and the most enduring track was Don't Come Around Here No More. So good. But other songs like Rebels, you just heard that, were written as what was intentionally intended to be a concept album about his Southern roots. But the concept part slipped away, probably 70% or so into the album, Tom Petty said in a Rolling Stone interview. I just let it go. But the Confederate flag became part of the marketing for the tour. I wish I'd given it more thought. It was a downright stupid thing to do. The song refers to a character, as Petty later explained, being born in Dixie and includes the refrain, "With one foot in the grave and one foot on the pedal, I was born a rebel." Over time, though, some fans began to associate Petty with the Confederate album emblem. Here's how Petty recalled the moment when he began to push back and how his fans responded. Quote, "I used it on stage during that song, Rebels, and I regretted it pretty quickly. When we toured 2 years later, I noticed people in the audience wearing Confederate flag bandanas and things like that. One night, someone threw one on stage. I stopped everything and gave a speech about it. I said, look, this was to illustrate a character. This is not who we are. Having gone through this, I would prefer if no one would ever bring a Confederate flag to our shows again, because this isn't who we are." It got mixed reaction. There were some boos and some cheers, but honestly, it's a little amazing to me because I never saw one again after that speech in that one town. So, yeah, it's okay to recognize and corrective action. I think Tom Petty did the right thing.
You've learned something about the Gadsden flag even during the course of today and research for this conversation, right, Tom?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I knew the Navy flew it and the Marines, right, all that. I was not up to speed on it being co-opted, much like the Germans and Nazi Germany took over the swastika from ancient Hindu.
Well, I had noticed during the Tea Party uprising there was a co-opting going on. Maybe I'm just a little more observant. 844-967-2789. Jack from the Mac, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, the first thing, guys, I want to say is I apologize for my calling yesterday. Got kind of on a tirade against Johnson, and I just sort of got lost in it. But I do have something specific about today's show, which is the Republicans. Let's see now. Impeach Protasiewicz. Impeach Biden. Impeach, take Megan Wolf off of the election administration. These guys are obviously running in incredible fear. Voss knows that it's going to be a huge backlash once the districts are not gerrymandered anymore, and there are fair elections in almost all of them. And the same thing is true at the federal level. These guys realize they're doing anything they possibly can to keep or steal that power, and they just keep on doing, you know, whatever they want. They don't do anything else in terms of helping the American public. I call the party not the Republicans, the Republicans, because they can't do anything except try to damage the country and try to hold on to power. So there's my tirade for today.
Right, Jack.
Not bad, Jack.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it.
Hey, man, you ever... Well, let's keep Jack.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I guess we didn't ask Jack. You ever go to a Brewer game?
Yeah.
You ever go to a Brewer game on the Devil's Advocates? You want to go, Jack? I got some tickets for Friday.
Oh, man, I'm out of town this weekend, as a lot of people are. I do appreciate that, and, you know, I got one of your T-shirts a while back, you know, which I proudly wear while I'm working out, and I occasionally work out in New Berlin, which is really kind of interesting to see the stairs I get.
Why don't they like your workout wardrobe choices in New Berlin?
It's not exactly the liberal bastion of the state. Let's put it like that.
Well, not yet.
We're working on it, Jack. You keep wearing that swag, man. We appreciate it. 844-967-2789. But, Jack, I got to tell you, man, the Republicans, they do things for us. Well, for some people, as Jesse Appoint and Bill Glauber point out today at the General Sentinel, Assembly Republicans introduce a $2.9 billion tax cut aimed at a broad swath of filers and retirees.
Mostly rich people.
Mostly.
Broad swath of rich, well-to-do people that, you know, can barely get by without another massive tax cut.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told reporters at a news conference in Oak Creek that Republicans heard Governor Evers' message on his veto of the last tax cut package, and they wanted to make sure that we offered a tax cut he would sign. So,
Willie.
There you go. It's not just, you know, impeaching, impeding, overturning, ignoring. You know, it's not just that. It's also tax cuts.
For rich people, primarily.
I mean, when you have gun problems, tax cuts. Global climate change, tax cuts. You know, your foot hurts, tax cuts. They have a solution. That's what they're there for. Cameron from Nina, 1 minute. Welcome. What do you got for us, Cameron?
Hey, Cameron.
Hey, right. So when I think of that kid with the backpack, I'm telling you right now, there's no way that kid cares up or down which way this goes. I'm sure that they were annoyed that they were kicked out of class, but I'm sure that that kid was annoying in a lot of other ways too. When I was in school, I lost, I had an English teacher pull me out of class, and he sat me down and he said, "Do you know what a double entendre is?" And I was like, "No." And I was in his AP English class, so kind of shame on me for not knowing. But he told me I needed to go reverse my shirt. It was a Hollister surfboard shirt that said "Ride the Tip" across one of the surfboards. He told that to me as a seventh grader.
Cameron, you got to turn the shirt inside out. That ain't appropriate. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News Now. I'm Derek Dennis. We're learning more about the suspected gunman and faculty member killed yesterday at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. UNC Police Chief Brian James, at a briefing today, identified the victim as physics professor ZG Yan and the suspect, graduate student Ty Lee Chi.
We have determined that the victim and suspect knew each other, and the suspect went directly to the victim and then left Caudill Labs.
The suspect made his first court appearance and is facing first-degree murder and weapons charges. State and federal officials are urging residents in the path of Hurricane Idalia to evacuate and take the storm seriously. It's expected to make landfall tomorrow on Florida's west coast as a Category 3 hurricane, and storm surge in the Cedar Key area could reach 15 feet. Businesses posted fewer jobs in July than expected, and a second report released today shows consumer confidence is down. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Microsoft has officially started construction on a $1 billion data center development in Racine County, Wisconsin. The facility should be completed by 2026, and it will occupy 215 acres at the intersection of 90th Street and Highway KR. The location of the data center is also in close proximity to a Foxconn LCD project that was proposed but never followed through on, and Microsoft bought the land for $50 million, some of which will be used to reimburse Foxconn for releasing the rights to the land. Wisconsin's Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee rejected a proposal by the Department of Public Instruction last week, which would have included private schools in an online dashboard regarding school district finances. According to WPR, the Wisconsin Coalition for Educational Freedom objected to private school spending being included, following the state budget's largest financial expansion to private school choice in the program's history. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
About the house in blue.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, the Happier Happy Hour. Rolling through it. And I got to tell you, I got a hell of a deal for the people listing in the Milwaukee area. I can get you hammer drunk for free on former Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Did you see this offer? Jack's American Pub on Milwaukee's Lower East Side has posted a heck of an offer for the upcoming NFL season. It does require you to cheer against former Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Check. I'm down for that, Dom. The Jets lose, you win promotion, Dom, is pretty simple. If the Jets lose with Aaron Rodgers under center, the bar picks up your entire bar tab. Seriously. The only caveats. You have to be at the bar and open the tab 15 minutes before the Jets game. Stay at the bar to watch the whole game. I assume restroom breaks are acceptable, Dom, because if I'm drinking during the whole Jets
3 hours,
game,
right?
I'm going to need to hit the restroom. Aaron Rodgers must be starting for the promotion to kick in, and the Jets must lose for patrons to get their tab paid off. I'd say there's, you know, we're probably looking at like a 9-8, 8-9 season.
What do you think? I mean, you're the sports guy here, Crudy. Who's going to have a better season, the New York Jets or the Green Bay Packers?
Ooh, that could be close. Are we co-managers of a fantasy football
team? We are. Did you get your email? Yes, we are. You should.
I don't think I got the email.
All right. Rocker, send it over. You gotta step up, man. We got a draft this weekend. We'll put it on auto draft.
Auto draft.
Yeah.
Well, auto draft. You know who I don't want? Aaron Rodgers.
No.
If this man wants to make it to the Hall of Fame as a former Packer and retire as a Packer, he's going to have to lose a lot of games and pay a lot of bar tabs. Don, the deal doesn't include food. This one's going to screw you. Excludes top shelf liquor.
Oh, what?
And doesn't work on Sundays when the Packers and Jets play at the same time. The bar, understandably, is going to show the Packer game on those dates. But that's only 4 conflicting dates. It's got 13 opportunities, presuming Aaron Rodgers is healthy, and he loses, to get your bar tab paid. That's a hell of a deal, Dom. I like that. This includes the season opener, September 11th, when the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets, face the Bills on Monday Night Football. Ooh, Monday night, Dom.
The Monday night rager on Brady Street.
The Bills have the 3rd best odds to win the Super Bowl. So if you want to pace yourself, you might want to wait a week. In fact, 5 of the games, 2 against Buffalo, 2 against, another against Dallas, KC, and Philadelphia, features meetings against teams with better Super Bowl odds than the Jets. These are your contenders, folks. I think they're going to expect the Jets to get off to a bad start this year. The great news is Packers play the Bears, so I feel pretty confident 1-0. Could get ugly after that, but 1-0, Dom. Now, Milwaukee bargoers and the Packers organization, including President Mark Murphy, are now pulling for the same thing, that Rodgers plays the majority of the games for the Jets this season. As part of the compensation package, the Packers will get the Jets' first-round pick in 2024 if Rodgers plays 65% of the team's snaps this year. Otherwise, they get a second rounder. So we've all got skin in this game, Don. Right. So anyways, lots of games.
No top shelf liquor. I mean, you can only drink so many PBRs, man.
What would you, you'd be drinking like Cuervo or something. Right. When you don't normally, like, what above the top shelf, what's up there?
Maybe some
depends on if Crudy's paying the bar.
Might have
or
to
not.
Be some Captain Morgan or something. Get, I mean, that's, yeah.
Get the tall ladder. That's what Dom says. Dom, why do I bring up this drinking engagement?
Well, because it's a bar on Brady Street in Wisconsin. That's
and we could we go do. There. Yes. That could be part of it, Dom. That might be a small part of it. But here's the pivoting, the political story that I paired together, you know, like a good steak and a red wine. Trump has no defense if he knew Giuliani was drunk giving legal advice. Now, isn't this what we've heard reported? The genesis of the rigged election was a drunken Rudy Giuliani.
Just go on and say you want, man. Just go on and say you want. I mean, just say you want it, man. You know, it's like acting. You know, if you acted enough, you become the part, Curdy.
Dominic, one of the findings detailed in the House Select Committee on the 2020 election and the J6 was that Donald Trump was getting a lot of legal advice that his ideas wouldn't work. Further, he's being told that the outlandish plots from the likes of Rudy Giuliani and John Eastman wouldn't work. But it was as if Trump allies were searching for lawyers who were willing to support legally unsound ideas to overthrow the election, according to reports. Now, Rolling Stone's reporting today that among the threats of the investigation, special counselor Jack Smith's team is pulling is to the degree to which Rudy Giuliani was drunk while giving legal advice to Trump. Further, it explained, did Donald Trump and his allies know that Rudy Giuliani right, was drunk when he took office? The special counsel's team has also asked these witnesses if Trump had ever gossiped with them about Giuliani's drinking habits, and if Trump had ever claimed Giuliani's drinking impacted his decision-making or judgment. Now, it's my understanding from prior reporting, Dom, Rudy was passed over for, like, attorney general because Trump thought he was a drunk. And Trump had lost a brother to alcoholism. Never quite liked the drunks, apparently. Thought they were weak human beings. You know, good enough for free legal advice, but I mean, not quite good enough for attorney general.
Can't beat the price.
Let's not forget who he started with. Jeff Sessions. What a fine AG choice that made.
Oh, man.
Dominic, another question, according to the report, is whether Trump was warned about Giuliani's drinking habits, including after election night 2020. They asked if any of the witnesses in the Oval Office or on the conference calls were aware of whether Giuliani was drunk. Yeah, probably. Well, giving legal advice and how much, like how drunk or how much legal advice?
Right.
Here's a quote, Tom. Federal prosecutors often aren't interested in investigating mere alcohol consumption. But according to lawyers in the room with the special counsel investigators, Smith and his team are interested in this subject because it could help demonstrate that Trump was implementing the counsel of somebody he knew to be under the influence and perhaps not thinking clearly, the report continued. I mean, like, Giuliani's not exactly known for his clear-headedness anymore. If that were the case, it could add to federal prosecutors' argument that Trump behaved with willful recklessness in his attempts to nullify the 2020 election by relying heavily on a lawyer he believed was inebriated.
Crudy,
hammer drunk, Dom.
Author Michael Wolff confirmed in his book Landslide, The Final Days of the Trump Presidency, that the former America's mayor is drinking all the time. Quote, he is, you know, if not constantly drunk, certainly buzzed throughout this period. Actually, probably for throughout most of the Trump administration.
If I ever write a book, Dom, I'm going to point out that you are too.
Yeah. It had to get through it somehow. Beyond that, he is a desperate figure. Desperate. He will do anything to be at the center of attention. If that involves saying anything that Trump wants to hear, he will certainly do that, as we've seen. And again, everyone in the White House, in the campaign, in Trump's family knows it's incredibly destructive to the Trump White House. Many of them actually blame Rudy even more than they blame the president, although everyone blames the president for the last 4 years. Former federal prosecutor Glenn Kirshner questioned whether Trump was intentionally taking bad advice as cover to do what he wanted to do. A quote, is he taking the advice from somebody who everyone in the room knows is drunk? He asked. If you're taking advice from a thoughtful, sober, learned counsel that, you know, might give you some protection on the advice of counsel front, but if you're taking advice from, you know, the town drunk sitting in the public square yelling at the clouds, you're not going to have much of advice of counsel defense. Speaking out about the allegations against him, Trump has claimed he was just doing what his lawyers told him. These are not salacious issues, I think, more fundamentally on the advice of counsel defense. I also think it is really hard for Donald Trump to pursue that when his counsel are his co-defendants in the January 6th trial, Kirshner said. They're his unindicted co-defendants, and there's no advice of co-defendant offense. So that also complicated the advice of counsel defense that Donald Trump might otherwise have. Here's a quote. Giuliani wrote this. I am disgusted and outraged at the outright lie by Jason Miller and Bill Sepian. Giuliani wrote on social media during the January 6th hearings in Congress. He said if he was acting erratically, it was because he was angry that they weren't addressing fake claims of voter fraud. I was upset that they were not prepared for the massive cheating as well as other lawyers around the president. I refused all alcohol that evening.
No. Come on, Rudy.
I refused, all caps, all alcohol that evening. My favorite drink, Diet Pepsi. Giuliani added, is the false testimony from Miller and Stepien because I yelled at them? Question mark. Are they being paid to lie? Question mark. Oh, Rudy. But, you know, the good news is if you go down to Jack's American Pub on Brady Street in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you can watch the Jets lose and get your non-top shelf booze paid for.
And Rudy's Pepsi.
And Rudy's Pepsi. He loves the Pepsi.
What do you think he puts in that Pepsi?
Rum. What do you put in Pepsi?
Rum. Doesn't everybody?
I mean, Jack. No, Jack. Whiskey. People like their whiskey and sodas.
Some like bourbon.
I didn't mix it. Just drink that straight, man. 844-967-2789.
Others give up the sport before they're publicly humiliated and indicted multiple times and disbarred. You know, some would call that hitting rock bottom. The divorce, the allegations of paying off the mistress turned employee.
The sexual allegations as well against the Rudy
used
employee.
To be a federal prosecutor and America's mayor.
Used to be.
If this ain't rock bottom, Rudy, I mean, the parking lot, the Four Seasons, the dripping Grecian formula, someone should have said, lay off the booze at that point. But no, Rudy.
He was in the movie with the young lady.
The Borat girl.
And lays down and, you know, what, pulls his pants? What was he doing?
Adjusting his microphone.
Is that what it was? Adjusting the microphone?
That's what the kids call it.
Yeah.
Dropping the mic.
I mean, perhaps rock bottom. No, it's not rock bottom yet, because when he gets thrown to the clink, then it'll be rock bottom.
That's like a 12-step program of its own, isn't it, Tom? Federal prison. 844-967-2789. If you've ever cleaned up in federal prison, call us now.
We do have some updates, Crudy. Let's see here. Fonnie Willis, a couple of things. A Georgia judge orders the Trump implicating special grand jury report to be publicly released. We like that idea.
That's going to drive Trump to drink.
Also, on this same news in Georgia, Fonnie Willis moves to fast track all 19 defendants in Georgia election conspiracy case. On Tuesday, she asked the judge presiding over the case against Donald Trump and the former president's 18 co-defendants to fast-track the case, according to court filings obtained by Politico's Kyle Cheney. Willis's filing would allow defendants to file motions seeking to sever their case from the broader conspiracy case, Cheney reports. Trump, along with his co-defendants earlier this month, were indicted. We know that. The case is being tried under the state's racketeering law. Justin! DA Fonnie Willis is asking the judge in the Trump racketeering case to fast-track all 19 of the defendants, not just Ken Cheesebro, while permitting others to file motions to sever from the larger case. According to Willis's filing, quote, the state of Georgia further respectfully requests that the court set a deadline for any defendant wishing to file a motion to sever, allow the parties, including the state of Georgia, sufficient time to brief the severance issue and hold a hearing on any filed motion to sever so that the court may consider factors set forth as required by Georgia law. Let's line them up and knock them down. Fonnie Willis, fast track, all 19.
Dominic, questions from the texting audience. They can text in on the Shiny Civic Media app. Here's a question. Will the Devils be covering First Lady Jill Biden's Madison events with Tammy Baldwin this Thursday? No, we will not. Not as far as I know. Are you credentialed? I'm not credentialed.
I am not, no.
Will it be at a bar?
Probably
will they
not.
Pay our tab? Will Aaron Rodgers pick up my tab if I cover a Jill Biden event in Madison? Would I be fully immunized if he did? Yeah. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Got a Brewers game going off against the Cubbies at 7:10 a little bit later tonight. Not yet. More of us. More of you on the phones, 844-967-2789.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 47 tonight under mainly clear skies. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 73. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows around 51. Mainly sunny skies and calm Thursday with daytime highs approaching 78. 87 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 74.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the glass.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. You can join us 844-967-2789. Stick around. The Maggie Dawn Show coming up next.
Last call for the alcohol, Dom. Always the saddest moment of the evening. Especially if you can't get the bartender's attention. You know, like he's trying to cut you off. You know how that feels.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Kurt. It never happened to me.
Dom, one of the funnier, more ironic statements ever made in the history of mankind.
Yes.
Made today by Donald Trump. I'd like to share it with you. Former President Donald Trump accused Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy of being too controversial after he suggested the U.S. government was involved in the attacks of September 11th, 2001. We were involved. Trump made the remarks during an interview with conservative host Glenn Beck on Tuesday. I think he's great, Trump said when asked if he would consider Ramaswamy as vice president. Ramaswamy's the I'm going to pardon Trump on the first day guy. Dom. Here's more from the former. Look, anybody that said, I'm the best president in a generation, he continued. And he said it a couple of times, and he said it in 100 years. So I have to like a guy like that. He likes me, so I like him. That's like the theme of the Jane Says song from, you know the song. I want them if they want me.
Trump.
Kerry Lake and MTG both desperately want that job. But anyways, Trump also had a warning for the Republican newcomer. Dom, as mentioned, this is perhaps the most ironic statement ever made in the history of stupidity in Donald Trump kind. He's starting to get out there a little bit, the former president observed. He's getting a little bit controversial. I've got to tell him to be a little bit careful because some things you have to just hold in a little bit.
Yeah. Really, Trump's been holding back. What are the things Trump's possibly held back?
Filter Trump?
Are we seeing the filter Trump? I mean, obviously we are, if this is his comment about Vivek Ramaswamy.
Dominic, an audio recording recently resurfaced of Ramaswamy repeating conspiracy theories about 9/11. I think it's legitimate to say how many federal agents were on the planes that hit the Twin Towers, he told The Atlantic. Maybe the answer is zero. It is probably zero for all I know, right? I have no reason to think it's anything other than zero.
I'm just asking questions.
Isn't that what they do on the Foxy News? Well, if Trump likes them, then I particularly don't like him.
Donald Trump is the greatest president in the 21st century.
Oh, he's going to love you for
saying. And climate change is a hoax.
Could be the vice president. And it was rigged. He won the 2020. He's not guilty.
And look
he's
at
the
Wisconsin.
Handsomest man.
Well, they found out in Wisconsin. I mean, it's amazing.
And he's definitely 6'3", 215 pounds.
Absolutely. Professional baseball player.
Not an ounce over. And have you seen the man golf, club champion every year?
Oh, come on. Have you seen him on the side of the bus? I mean, he looks like Rambo or Rocky sometimes. I mean, he's ripped.
If only he could be a totalitarian like Kim Jong-un. We could all worship him and have a picture of Trump in every room of our house, like Trump does.
Yeah, you know, we kind of do now. I mean, how many times did that mugshot go around the world? Everyone's got a picture of Trump in their house. Crudy, a little more serious here. I want to throw this one out there as well. Raw story.
Yeah, let's end on a serious reporting. Note,
I know, but this is some crazy stuff.
Something from the Raw story to serious it up a bit.
Far-right Georgia lawmaker Tuesday suggested that although he'd prefer to resolve differences with his political adversaries peacefully, he won't roll out violence against those behind what he described as Nazism. Georgia State Senator Colton Moore.
Handsome fella.
During an appearance on former Trump advisor Steve Bannon's The War Room, suggested that defunding Fulton County DA Fannie Willis is among his top priorities. A quote, I was talking to one of my fellow senators today. I said, when was the last time you spent $1 million on anything? Moore said in an apparent reference to State Senator Sean Still, who was among 18 co-defendants along with former President Trump, who were indicted earlier this month on allegations they tried to overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential
election.
Well,
didn't everybody?
I was like, we got a fellow senator going to spend $1 million in defense of himself. But it's just like Nazi Germany. I mean, they want to call us Nazis, and their actions are Nazism. I mean, first they go after your enemies, Moore added in an apparent reference to the poem, First They Came. And you don't say anything because they're your enemies. And that's exactly where the governor is right now. He looks at Donald Trump as the enemy. So he's like, I'm not going to say anything, right? Then they come after your friends. I got a friend who's being indicted. Many friends. Guess what? I'm seeing what they're doing to my enemies, and I'm trying to speak out for my friends. But my other senators are so reluctant. They're like, oh, I mean, don't want to be charged for obstruction of justice if I move out there or say anything. The folks up in your district that you represent, what? What are they telling you? Bannon asked. Oh, I mean, they couldn't be more excited about the fight I pushed out. I mean, they just sweat every day for those tax dollars. They see what's going on. They're scared for themselves. I mean, my goodness, how many people in my district questioned that election? I mean, and now we've got 19 people who are facing the rest of their life in prison because they spoke out against an election? Moore said during a recent conversation with his fellow state senator, they discussed taking action right now because if we don't, our constituencies are going to be fighting in the streets. Do you want a civil war? ? I don't want a civil war. I don't want to have to draw my rifle. I want to make this problem go away with my legislative means of doing so. And the first step is to getting that done is to defund Fannie Willis of any Georgia tax dollars. And hopefully Representative Jordan and Representative Biggs will follow suit in Congress and strip her of federal dollars too, because she's not upholding her oath to the Constitution.
To the cult.
Don't want to have to go get my rifle, Crudy. I mean, we can just defund.
Annie, get your gun.
So, yeah, that's it. So, you know, their fascism is our fascism, right? See, so they're.
But I never once threatened to go get my gun.
Well, you don't have to threaten. He just doesn't want to. See, he just doesn't want to do
it. I don't want to have to beat your ass, but I will.
Right. So, I mean, up is down, right is left, left is right. You know, I mean, this is what the Republicans are I'm going to say down to. I got to tell you, man, this has always been there. Let's just say it. These folks, this guy Colton Moore, I mean, this is the first time he's had these thoughts. I mean, if a guy can talk like that and so easily just go to hell, I guess, I don't want a civil war. I mean, all this civil war talking. That's why we have these separate equal branches of government. That's why we have representative democracy. That's why we need people to show up and be engaged, because if you don't, Colton Moore is going to be your state senator.
Dominic, I heard some of the best talk radio I've ever heard last night on this very station. It was Maggie Dawn. She was kicking ass and taking names. You're going to want to stick around. Maggie Dawn is putting out some damn fine radio. I'm just telling you, some of you can't handle the truth she's laying down. Maggie Dawn will be next. It's Tuesday night. That means educated educators talking education. Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci doing the busted pencil thing. And then Rick Smith nationwide, 8 to 10 p.m. And don't forget our friend Robert Pilot and his team. Well, they do the Native Roots Radio. I'm awake at 10 o'clock at night right here on WMDX. Dom, great to see you. Nate, thanks for your help. We'll do it all tomorrow when Bill Press will be our fine guest right here on the radio. Keep it locked.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value parts store. We've got the parts, we've got the smarts.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media app. News.